is TechStrong TV.
Thanks for joining us on TechStrong TV. I'm Bonnie Schneider, and joining me now is Duncan Greatwood. He is the CEO of Zage Security to discuss renewable energy and cybersecurity. Duncan, it is so great to have you on.
It's really my pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
That's great. Well, just last December, the U.S. Department of Energy's Natural Renewable Energy Laboratory announced the first cohort of its Clean Energy Cybersecurity Accelerator Program, and Zage Security was selected. So congratulations, first of all. And tell us how it's been going. It hasn't been that long, but what have you been doing so far?
Yeah, well, it's a very active program, actually. It'll be all done by the end of March, this first phase. So it's launched right into it. Renewable energy is an opportunity to improve resilience and security. And it's also a risk that security might get worse. So we kind of have to balance off those two things. And really what the program is doing is simulating some of the risk situations that happen in renewable energy infrastructure, and then bringing a few of the newest and most innovative solutions and dropping them into those environments and sort of saying, well, if those new solutions were there, would the hackers be stopped, or would they still be able to go and do their bad work that they want to do? So that's really what's going on right now at NREL and at the facilities that they provide.
Well, just to backtrack a little, can you tell me a little bit about Zage Security, how you got started, and what you're working on in general?
Yeah, you bet. So Zage Security is a cybersecurity company that targets what we sometimes call real-world operations. And that means anything where there's a physical aspect, the things that we rely on every day. How do we transport ourselves? How do we create our food? How do we create and use energy? That's a new area in cybersecurity to a large extent. Until a few years ago, it wasn't really an area of deep activity. But of course, in the last few years, it's become a very sensitive area. We do rely on those things every day. And there's a whole bunch of bad actors who are either trying to extract ransomware from private companies or attack things from a national security perspective. The war in Ukraine has intensified concerns, and hacks like the Colonial Pipeline hack of 2021 was perhaps a bit of a warning sign for the whole of that sector that they needed to start paying more attention to it. So Zage is taking a new approach in that industry. Historically, cybersecurity in that space has been about keeping the bad guys off the network, so just not allowing them in at all. And then secondly, if something did go wrong, there would be detection solutions. So like having a video camera on your house, you'd have a detection solution. So if somebody was rootling around, then you might have a chance of spotting it. Both those approaches are kind of broken down because the bad guys do get on the networks fairly regularly. Just knowing that they're there is useful, but of course, we'd much rather just stop them being able to do what they want to do rather than just detecting it. And that's the approach that Zage is bringing, that we are providing what we call a fabric, which is really just a overlay of software components that we drop into the operation, and which is there to make sure that nobody can do things that they weren't authorized to do. And so we kind of take control of access and interactions that are happening between the different systems and different equipment. And we impose this method of authentication and authorization to control what's happening that previously didn't exist. And that's super relevant to situations like renewable energy and like what NREL is doing, of course. In renewable environments, there are often lots of little solar farms, little wind farms, very distributed. The old way of doing energy, a few giant power stations, was a very different kind of a model. And so when you have these distributed environments, that introduces a whole bunch of new risks. They have to interact with each other in new ways, and they, sometimes they're working. It might be windy today, it might be sunny today, it might be that you're using nuclear energy today, but constantly varying. And so it's a very complex set of controls that has to exist, and Zage is really here to help us solve those problems.
That's a really good point that you mentioned, where you have these environmental factors that come into play. And in the wake of climate change, where we're seeing more of these extreme weather events, how has that affected cybersecurity and posed new challenges for you?
It has. Well, I think it's a multi-layer answer to that question. So firstly, it's accelerating the push for renewable energy, as we all know. And so we have to make sure that the resilience of the grid is increased, not decreased, when we do embrace renewables. I think the story today on that is mixed, quite honestly. Sometimes it is increased, sometimes not. There's also direct effects on the grid when there are either weather events or wildfires or any of the other consequences that can come from climate change. You probably remember a couple of years ago, there was a big ice storm in Texas, and they don't have too many ice storms in Texas, but once in a while they do. It's very intense. It went on quite a long time. And they had to bring in tens of thousands of outside technicians from outside of the state of Texas and give them access to the Texas infrastructure to help them fix it. Well, you can imagine if you take 50,000 people who've never had access before and give them access to your digital infrastructure, there's going to be some of them who have malware on their laptops, and maybe they don't even know it's there, but they do. And so you're kind of, in responding to weather events, you're actually exposing a whole bunch of cyber risk in that process. And that increases the need and the intensity of the urgency of, let's make sure that one person who has malware on their laptop, that they can, worst case, maybe they infect one substation in the grid. They're not infecting every substation in the grid, not allowing kind of a digital contagion to happen across the grid when those things do end up jumping into the system.
Yeah, and so keeping this security in mind and looking at these new arenas where we could have more threats to security, how would you go about, how do you go about testing these measures, particularly in the energy sector?
So there are multiple levels of testing that go on. There are commonly defined sets of standards and tool sets that a company that's buying cybersecurity will run through, and they'll test for vulnerabilities in the security solution itself, and also whether the security solution is able to block attacks against the thing that it's trying to protect. In real-world infrastructure, the baseline is often very low, so there may be equipment with no password at all, or it may seem to have a password, but actually very easy to bypass. And so what Zate is bringing is the ability to overlay on top of what we might call that legacy equipment or legacy architecture, modern cybersecurity methods. So just as if you want access to your bank account, you might have to sign in with a password, and you might have to provide a second proof, like you proof via your cell phone that it's really you. Well, we can impose those kind of multi-layer protections even on top of these older pieces of infrastructure. And so a test range like the NREL is providing will run through all of those kind of attacks. Is it resistant to a password attack? Is it resistant to a so-called MFA bombing or MFA exhaustion attack, and so on and so on? So they have a whole suite of things that they run through. They're also looking at the real world resilience of this thing. So if your solar farm is disconnected from the outside world, does it continue to work? Can the security measures work locally, even without being able to refer back to some central security point? That kind of resiliency is just as important as the cyber kind. You don't want cyber to kind of bring things to a halt just because it's lost a network connection or any of the other problems that can happen in day-to-day digital life. And so the testers also run through those kind of scenarios and, making sure that it'll work in practice as well as in theory.
Has there been any challenges, unexpected things that happened in your development, especially working in renewables?
I think the cybersecurity is constantly throwing up new challenges. It's the nature of hackers that they're inventive. people, and you know, it's a quite a entrepreneurial community in its own strange way that people are coming up with new ideas and new approaches all the time. I think for us, for a long time, there was kind of doubt in people's minds. You know, did they really need to take these strong measures? As I sort of hinted a couple of minutes ago, I think only in the last 18 months has the whole industry sort of shifted perspective and say, you know what, it doesn't matter whether we're an oil and gas pipeline or a solar farm, or we're manufacturing packaged foods. We are critical infrastructure. We are under attack, and they've shifted their mindset. And technical term that sometimes uses zero trust approach. So they're not going to trust you just because you appeared on a network or just because you have one laptop or what have you. They're sort of adopting these much stronger approaches. And I guess with our cyber perspective, in some ways it surprised us that it took them so long to get there. That it took them, it took them a while to realize that they had to do it. But I think the flip side of that is how fast people have been able to move, especially in the last 12 months, kind of starting to aggressively head down that path. And companies like utility companies, they have a well-earned reputation for a stately rate of progress on many issues. That's kind of how they operate by default. But whether it's renewables or many of these other areas, you've seen people who kind of previously might have taken 10 years to adopt a new approach, kind of saying, hey, you know what, we want to get this rolled out in 2022 or 2023 or some quite rapid timescale.
Yeah, that's true. It's interesting you meant the pacing has picked up. Now, I was reading about your background and how you've previously worked in leadership roles at Apple, Topsy, Postpath. In your vast experience in this cybersecurity world, have you ever seen an acceleration like this happening, where there has to be this very up to the minute progress expected in cybersecurity?
Yeah, I think we have seen this loop before a little bit. I think in the last time it went around, it was really more focused on purely digital environments, though. So, and there's a distinction here between the world of the carpeted office building. Imagine you're working in an insurance company, mm-hmm. processing documents backwards and forwards. If you wind back 15 years, then many of those environments were similarly poorly protected. Once you got inside the firewall, you could do many, many things that were bad. That sort of switch into protecting individual assets, individual pieces of data that happened in IT 15 plus years ago, is now happening in critical infrastructure. It's a change of mindset for sure. Every customer we talk to, it's a different state. Some of them have already fully embraced it and they're hammering down the path. Some of them are uncertain. Does this apply to me and do I need to do it? And others of them honestly are still in resistance mode a little bit. I don't want to do this. I can figure out, okay, where I am. The lessons of the last cycle, I think, in the IT world as opposed to the operational world, the lessons in IT were eventually everybody kind of embraces it, and mm-hmm. people are pragmatic and they find solutions like Sage that let them do it in a practical way. And it's not quite the nightmare that they perhaps thought it would be when they first started looking at it. Really for these businesses, it's a requirement now. And when a requirement exists, a hard requirement like this one, then solutions begin to make themselves known, of which, Sage is certainly an important one, I think.
Well, that is true. And it's definitely coming more to light, as you said, with all different sorts of threats posing on organizations more and more each day. And Duncan Greatwood, thank you so much for sharing your insights from Sage Security. Congratulations again on the Accelerator program. You're going to have a very busy next couple of months, I'm sure.
Yeah, no doubt. It was my pleasure. Thanks for talking.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us on Tech Strong TV. Thanks, Duncan. We're going to have a lot more coming up.